The Lord, isn't it a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Well, the word of the Lord was outstanding, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad you're here today. Most of all, I believe the presence of the Lord is going to be with us and give us a wonderful, wonderful time in this service today. You'll get just exactly what you come looking for. If you come to find a fault, you're going to find it. If you come to get a blessing, you're going to get it. You come to be a blessing to somebody else, they're going to receive. Now, how many of you come to be a blessing and to receive something today? Praise the Lord. If you will, give the Lord a real big hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I know it's flu season, but turn around and shake somebody's hand anyway. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church. Play some more of it, guys, if you will.
Temptation.
Thank you, Lord.
It was His desire to steal away my revelation of this message. The strength I need to keep me
Hallelujah.
In His grace.
Thank you, Lord. Hey. Oh, something keeps holding
me.
Every day I see. Helping me faithfully. Pastor preached last night here in Laodicea, the demon powers that we face every day.
Yes, sir.
And all the enticing spirits that we face every day.
Yeah.
You are not capable of walking through this world on your own merits and being an overcomer. But He has placed that overcomer inside of here. That you know what? It's all time working on this part of me. Bringing me under subjection more and more all the time. And I've still got a long ways to go. But thank God I ain't where I used to be. Are you glad about that this morning? You're not what you're going to be, what you ought to be, but you ain't what you used to be. Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him today. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at her prayer request this morning. Sister Sherry Wiggins says, I want to thank everyone who's been praying for my mother. Her surgeon feels her surgery went well and is hopeful that she will get along pretty well. She was sent home without any rehab or home health care, so I'm asking for prayers for my father as well. He is very wore out with caring for her, and his own health is not good. Thank you so much for your continuing prayers for my parents. So we praise the Lord that she got to go home. Just pray God will help that family. I want to pray for Ty Harbor, who is in the Holston Valley Hospital with an infection in his body. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Amos sends this in as a testimony. Two individuals who have caused me much trouble for years were suddenly taken from my pathway. Praise the Lord, I passed the test. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. Well, there's folks in your life that'll just, they'll either bring out your worst or your best. So I thank God for you passing the test, Brother Amos. Amen. And Sister Brenda Jones wants us to remember Caitlin Jones for a foot injury. Just pray that the Lord would help her today. Brother Ernie Villanueva sends this in. Dear Saints, please pray for the safe return of a young girl named Emily who has not returned from school today. An Amber Alert has been issued to try to locate her. She's not been out this late before and her family is very concerned for her. She normally comes home around 3:30 p.m. and it is currently 1:20 a.m. in Georgia. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request. I don't know. I guess that was sent in earlier in the week, but we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to be mindful of that need. Brother Joe Harris sends his hand to please pray for the family of Gene Cooley. He passed away after surgery on Thursday. He was awaiting a heart transplant. He is the son of Shirley Cooley, Brother Homer Longoria's sister. So we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord will be mindful of them. I want to pray for Ashley Babb, who has a flu, not feeling well today. Let's pray for her. Brother Eric Krause would like to thank everyone for their cards, calls, and most of all for your prayers, which meant so very much to my family. So we just commit them unto the Lord and ask God to continue to just gird them with His love. Remember Brother Sam, Sister Gail Clark, they're not able to be in the service today. So we just pray that the Lord would touch them. Sister Michelle Swafford says, please pray for my niece Penelope Luna. She will be having surgery on her kidney this Wednesday. So let's remember that need. Also, May Manuel, grandmother, broken leg and suffering from heart problems. So let's remember that need today. Brother Kevin Keith wants to thank everyone for their cards, food, calls, and prayers during his surgery. He is doing well. So somebody say praise the Lord for that. Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Now, how many of you know that we're serving a prayer answering God? Amen. Could we stand together this morning? Brother Harry, I want you to sing that second verse of that song one more time. Let's do the chorus, and then we're going to pray over these needs today. The mighty conqueror is among us today. He's here in this service today. Do you believe that with all your heart? Sing it, buddy.
Satan lay before me, his temptation, his desire to steal away my faith from which.
Father, this is a reality to us. This revelation that we're singing of here, this song never gets old, because every time that we sing it, Lord, we're going through something different, or we're struggling with something that we've been struggling through for a long time. And it's You that never lets go. Lord, sometimes we get weak, but You never let go. The devil tries to tell us that You've let go, and makes us try to wonder if You're going to answer our prayer, and makes us wonder if we're going to make it through this trial or this sickness or whatever has befallen us, Lord. But we know that You're faithful when we're weak. We know that You give us faith to believe Your word and to receive it and to stand on it, Lord, until the prayers are answered. Lord God, we don't believe anything comes before this bride by mistake. We know that when a prayer request comes before us, Lord, it's because the queen, Lord, needs to bring it to the king. And Lord, these are serious requests. And Father, we just look at it, and we know, we don't think, we don't wonder, we don't hope, but we know that You're going to answer these requests. Lord, this child that's disappeared, its parents are just going through unimaginable fear, Lord. This young lady, Lord, the other day the same thing happened here, and prayer brought that child to safety, Lord. And we believe that this did not come by us by mistake. We know that You're going to return her, Lord, or that the whole situation's in Your hands one way or another, Father. We know that You're going to work it out. Lord, for these sicknesses that come against us, Father, Lord Jesus, we just stand against it. We know that you've already taken the punishment for those sicknesses. We already know that you've taken the strops. We know that these brothers and sisters may need help, Lord. They may need more faith. They may need revelation, like you said. Father, we look at these situations as opportunities to receive that revelation and know that your word is true and know that you're who the word says you are. And Father, we just stand together shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters who laid these requests here and these praises here. And these different situations, Lord, we stand shoulder to shoulder with them, and we agree in the name of Jesus Christ for each and every one of them, Lord. And Lord, we also thank you for another opportunity to come before you and to receive your word, Lord God, for you to anoint your servant and bring us the very thing that we have to make it through the next day, Lord. We know, Lord, that we're just waiting on the coming of you, and we're waiting to see you appear. And Lord, this word gives us strength. It does exactly what this song said, Lord. It gives us strength. And it gives us revelation to carry on and to stand for each other as well, Lord. We thank you for everything you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, and we just ask your blessing upon this service. We ask you to help us not to leave here any worse than we came in, but to leave better. We ask you to give revelation, Lord, to our pastor as he comes and brings us the word. We ask you to put the fire of the Holy Ghost on this service today, Lord, and help us to open our hearts fully to you. We, Lord, are trusting you to step in and perform miracles today within the heart of every believer. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and we just dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming today, I pray this service will be a great blessing to them. There was a story told one time, and I hope I can remember it the best way that I can. All of you remember the Battle of the Alamo. I'm sure you've known about that probably your whole life. But it was certain that they were going to be defeated. They were outnumbered. And there were a few soldiers that was firing out of the windows and the doors of the Alamo and the points of where they would fire their weapons. And there were some soldiers laying over on the other side of the barracks, Brother Terry, that was wounded. Couldn't do anything to aid their fellow soldiers. And they made up their mind. They said, before you fire another shot, we want you to come and get our cots. Carry us over there to where you're at. Because when they find us, we want them to know whose side we was on. I want the world to know. I'm like you. I'm just like you. I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the side of the right. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side among you? Amen. Give him one more hand clap of praise. It loves us still.
Who is on the Lord's side among you?
tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight. Tonight.
Hallelujah. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Let's see if we can sing this song. We hadn't sung it in a while, but I believe we can either sing it or mess it up. So we'll try our best to sing it this morning. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Now, most of you know you shook hands with somebody a while ago, but I know that the most of you got them little bitty hand sanitizers stashed away in your pocket or purse. And when we sit down, you sneak that hand sanitizer out and scrub. I know some of you don't like to shake hands, especially during flu season. But I know this. Ain't nothing wrong with being friendly. Ain't nothing wrong with shaking somebody's hand and telling them you love them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, there's a lot wrong with not being friendly. There's a lot wrong with that. You got any hand sanitizer? Okay. I ain't either. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Brother Brandon Green, I want you to come be getting ready this morning. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know.
Sound most any time, and the crown of life is waiting. Thank God will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid. Heaven, safe on the crystal shore. Oh, we'll meet again.
Thank you, Savior. Lord.
And our loved ones who've gone on, there to live through all eternity.
Oh, yes, I'm going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky.
Vessel.
Thank you, Lord.
He's calling it on board.
Yes, he is.
And the destination is heaven. Safe on that crystal shore.
Praise the Lord.
Where we'll meet again the Savior and our loved ones who've gone on. There to live for all eternity.
It's about home time.
Oh, yes, I'm going home.
Well, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I'm
it's bright away. I'm going home with Jesus. And in the twinkling of an eye, I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I will leave it when he calls his bride away.
Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. I appreciate your participation in the song service. You can be seated. Brother Brandon Green, let's give him a nice hand as he comes this morning.
Amen. You appreciate Brother Brandon Green this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Let's just sing that together today. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Thank God he took care of whatever our needs were. And they were many. They were plenty in all of our lives. But he took care of it. And he's still taking care of it today, Brother Terry. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it as Brother Donnie gets ready to come.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous a grace that
together today. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your abundant love and grace that has reached each of our hearts. Lord, the fact has already been determined many, many years ago. We was unworthy, undeserving, but that's the thing about grace. It doesn't give to the worthy. It doesn't give to the deserving, but it's unmerited favor. And for that, we will be forever grateful. We're not just thankful that you saved us, but Lord, we're thankful that you've continued to be with us and give us of your favor and grace all down through life's journey. I pray today, Lord, that as we endeavor to look into your word, that you would help us, Father. A man can study, he can be able to look up the meanings of words and be able to apply himself, even though a gifted man could do that. But still, if your anointing doesn't come, it'll not be the same. Lord, we've not gathered here today that we would come and go away worse, or that we would come and go away about the same. But we want to leave a better people, something that will enlighten us to be able to equip us for the warfare that we're in today. So we look to you today, Father. We know if there be anything of eternal value that'll come out of the service, it'll certainly have to be you that does it. Speak to us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn today, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I wish to speak to you again today on the spirit world. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That takes in demons, fallen angels, principalities, powers, things that you see, and millions of those that you don't. Let's read it again. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I ask the same question today that I asked last night in verse 38. Why would angels want to separate you from God? What angels would they be? Fallen angels, of course. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's read it again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, archaea, the first one in order, principalities, and against powers, and against rulers. Listen at the categories now of darkness. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. May the Lord bless His words. You may be seated today. The kingdom of darkness over which Satan is king is composed of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits. Future home, the prophet tells us, and its existence is in the earth now, man-made systems, politics, sin, all kinds of evil spirits that the world is contaminated with, and all the heavens above us is contaminated with evil spirit. Now we're going to go deep and long in this. All of this exists in the heavens or the atmospheres and the earth which is now. The earth holds these things, but it wasn't made for that purpose. So the atmosphere, the heavens, and we know that there are several degrees of heavens. The heavens are contaminated. The atmosphere, the wind, the Satan being the prince of the power of the air. The earth within itself is contaminated. Our bodies are contaminated. The unconverted people, their souls are contaminated. So everywhere we look is a contamination of this evil spirit. And we know they desire to be able to bring into dominion or under Satan's dominion all of those who are not already there. Now, if you can imagine that you were Satan and you were in his shoes for just a few minutes, and in control, you have basically every nation. You have all the governments of the world, whether they're democracy, whether they're, you know, whether they're dictatorship or whatever they are. You have every nation under your control as far as governmentally. Politically, you have every nation under your control. You have every anti-Christian religion of the world, which is under your control. And you have many of the systems that claim to be Christian also under your control. You have much of the power of the air under your control.
Now, you cannot create atoms and molecules. You do not have the ability to create reflective light and all of that. But what you've learned your jurisdiction. And you've learned your rights and your authority. So you've learned how you can manipulate and cause atoms to do certain things. You've learned how that a warm Gulf Stream coming down with a northern stream of air, how it will clash and can cause severe thunderstorms and even cause tornadoes. You have learned how to use what is on the earth at your disposal. So you being the prince of the power of the air, you have the ability to move in the wind currents and the thermals as they rise over the mountains. You can't make them now, but you've learned how to use them. You've learned how to use human beings in their fallen nature. You can't make one human being. You can't even make one blade of grass because the devil cannot create one thing. But he has learned his rights and his jurisdiction to be able to know what he can do with what God has made. Now, you've got all of this under your control. The elements, much of the elements are yours. You have, as I said, the governments politically. You've got much of the movements that are in the earth today are orchestrated by the devil himself. But yet there is a group of people. Now, God only, of course, knows who they are and where they are and how many there are of them. I'm not going to try to say how many there are because that's entirely up to God. But there is an element of people, and there are some churches and some individuals that you cannot control. Now, you've got the colossus of the majority of the earth that is under your control. You've got the government of the nations that is under your control. You've got the politics of the nations that is under your control. How would it make you feel to have this small, small majority of people and churches and preachers and young people and laity and all of that that you cannot get under your control? Would not that take away from the victory that you have because of this small bunch of ignoramuses? The small bunch of people that you cannot control for nothing. You offer them money, they turn it down. You offer them popularity, they laugh in your face. You offer them sin and they say, are you kidding me? You offer them everything at your disposal and you can't get them for nothing. You get them down and they get up. You make them sick and they get healed. You discourage them and they get encouraged. You pull them down so low that they think they'll never get up, but something supernaturally elevates them from within their soul, and you had them down on Monday and by Wednesday they're back on top again. Would that make you happy? Well, that makes you look at everything that you have and say, well, I'll forget about them. It don't matter. It don't matter. But it does matter. This eats on him like a rat on cheese. He can't stand it. He cannot stand it. It makes no difference that he has tens of thousands of compromising preachers in the pulpits. It's those few that he can't get to compromise. It eats him alive. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Now the heavens and the earth are contaminated with these evil spirits. Thank God, for the most part, our natural eyes are not able to see them. No doubt if our vision was enlightened or illuminated for just a little bit this morning, say within 30 minutes of our time, and we would see what goes on in a service like this, and we would see the demon spirits as they move around from person to person, and we would see the angels of God as they come and move around, probably most of us would never be the same the rest of our life, if we live, that is, because most of us do not have the ability to be able to observe supernaturally the spirit world and what goes on us every day. God, I believe, by his grace, keeps us from the overwhelming part that for most of us, we're just not made to be able to take it. Now, no doubt many of you, or maybe most of you, have had supernatural experiences, seen supernatural things, whether they are good or bad, and yet you know what an impact it can have on your life. Whether you see demons, or whether you see angels, or whether you feel ghosts. And I know some of you laugh whenever I say that. You don't believe in ghosts. Well, let me tell you, they are here. They are real. It is another realm. But yet, for most of us, thank God, we do not have the ability to be able to contact it and see it, or be able to mediate or go into that realm. Yet, we live in this mortal stream here, that as we looked at it last night, there's three realms above it and three realms below it. And you're right in the middle of it, little specks of light, or little white flashes, as it were. And you are living in this life of utter darkness. Every day we live, every week that goes by, new darkness is able to penetrate either through our legislation, through Congress, through Senate, or whatever more. More laws of darkness are being passed, and laws of light are being terminated. Right. Not only in America, but around the world. And of course, we know before the bride gets ready to leave, it must come to the culmination of that darkness, to where it will so permeate the world that the world is ripe for the judgment of God. How can God ever be able to annihilate this nation? Remember, the last vision that the prophet saw in the seven major visions was that America was annihilated. Now, I know that many folks have thought for years that because the USSR was broke up and all that, we don't have to fear them anymore. He never said, watch the USSR. He said, watch Russia. Come on, children, wake up prophetically and look around. They flexed their muscles again, and they've showed our nation they can do what they want to do. One of their great men even made his comment a week or so ago, you probably read it, that they could turn this nation into atomic ash. They know they can. They know they've got the ability to do it, and the reason they ain't done it yet is because we're still here having church. Until God gets that last one, they'll never be able to do it. But once God terminates it, and once the wrath of God culminates to such a place that America as a whole... Now remember, as far back as the early 60s, Brother Branham said that he didn't even pray for America anymore. Now that was the nation. He didn't pray for her anymore as a nation. But yet there were individuals. Many of us were not even saved at that time. So there were individuals to be brought out. So here's the heart of a prophet of God that would not pray for her as a nation as a whole. Then it shows you where we are here now in 2014. But remember, God will not allow it to come until the last one has been brought in. Not only foolish virgins, but foolish virgins and wise virgins. The foolish must be saved before the bride can be gone, because when she leaves, the blood leaves the mercy seat, right? Then God will turn totally and completely to the Jews. Now, the prince of the power of the air understands his jurisdiction. I hate to say it, but in one sense of the word, he probably understands his right, his authority, his position and designation far better than most of us Christians do. He didn't get to this spot by just imagining, but he's pushed the boundary or the limits to find out what God would allow him to do. With every new message of every day, he had to start as it was anew, to find out what he could do, to find the new light of the day, find the boundaries and the perimeters of the day, and work within the confines of that light, and see what he could do to be able to destroy this new influence, which is what he's doing right now. Now, he must learn his boundaries, and he must learn what he can do, because even though that he is not a creator, he can be able to move within what God will let him do. And God will, of course, allow him, because he is a squatter on this property. He is allowed certain things that he can do. He can still make you sick. He can make you worry. He can make you go all kinds of things. And depending on you knowing your rights, then you can let it go on one day or one year. It's up to you. It's not so much that God wants it to, but it's because we don't know our rights. He will push his rights. He will know exactly what he can do. And he is a bluff. And he will bluff you out of everything that God's bought for you if you'll let it. But you know what? He works within the confines of his rights. It's a shame, friends, that we as Christians do not study our position. Instead of studying how to argue and fuss and debate and all kinds of things, every child of God sitting in this room today, if you've been saved very long at all, you ought to know every perimeter of your position. You ought to know every boundary of what you can say, when you can say it, how long you can say it. We ought to know everything that God's given to us. But instead, we waste our time with frivolous, foolish stuff. Amen, Brother Donnie. Preach. Now watch. Both the heavens and the earth now is contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. Now watch. The heavens and the earth, both, notice this is plural heavens. The heavens and the earth are contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. Jesus is there to intercede for us. While the accusers, notice not one, but plural, the accusers keep pointing a finger. They did this. They did this. They did this. But the blood still covers. Thank God for His mercy. Now you imagine every mistake that we make and those things that we do. The accusers are going before the throne of God and said, Dan done this, and Jim done that, and JD done that, and Sister so-and-so did this, and so-and-so, ain't them your children? Hey, look at that preacher down there. He done that, and this and said this, and that young person done that, and that person said that, and they're constantly there. Heaven, oh my, heaven is listening to this nonsense, but thank God the blood is there. Amen. To say, Satan, I bought them. I paid for them. The blood still speaks for them. Satan is the celestial potentate, the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now remember, he is given the title in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he is called the God of this world. Now he is not the God of this earth. He is not the God of this earth. He does not own this earth. He is the God of this world. The political systems. He is the God of the religions of the world. He does not own this earth. He is a squatter. He has no title. He has no deed. And it ain't going to be long. We're going to kick him out of here. Amen. That's exactly right. But he is the God of the world systems. These world systems do not come from heaven, friends. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now this is the only way we can really know the things of God. You don't know the things of God just by reading the Bible, because they're hid from the context and they're hid behind there to where you read it all your life and never know it. But we know the things of God by revealing of the spirit of God. So Satan is the ruler of the powers of darkness of the spirit world. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. Let's read this again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Satan is a king. And if he is a king, he has a kingdom. And you cannot have a kingdom without having subjects. And you must have subjects by which will come under your dominion or your rule or your reign. And they will do that which you bid them, or of course you will penalize them. Now watch in Matthew chapter 12 verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how shall his kingdom stand? Now here the Lord Jesus tells us that the devil actually has a kingdom. So it is not a sign of weakness for us to admit that he is a king and he has a kingdom. Because the Lord Jesus did. So he is a king. Now Satan's subjects are, of course, the first subjects were angels which fell from their original estate in the presence of God. Now since they fell, they have been held under chains of darkness unto the power of the great day. Their headquarters is actually in the abyss or the pit. Now they are held there by the command of God and will not be released, of course, until the day of judgment when they will be judged and then sent to separation to be annihilated eventually in the lake of fire. Now then, also, there's another aspect of Satan's kingdom, and that is that there are unregenerated human beings which are also his subjects. Now, thank God for many of us, hopefully all of us that are sitting here today, we used to be a part of that kingdom as well, but God set us free. Now, in that, all unregenerated human beings join into the rebellion against God's word. Many, you know, even because we're born into that, that within itself is not so much the sin. But it's because we choose to stay there is what gets us in continuing trouble. Now, let's look at this, if you would, in demonology. The English version of the New Testament is not as clear in its presentation of demonology as is the original Greek. Because it translates diablos, dominion, and demon by the same word devil. Now listen, this must be understood in order to be able to divide the ranks of the satanic kingdom. Now watch, whenever then the English went to translate from the original Greek, then they took the word diablos, dominion, and demon by the same word devil. The word diablos, devil, meaning slanderer or false accuser, is only used in the New Testament in the singular and appears 35 times. Now, this word only appears 35 times in the New Testament, and it is never used in a plural form, only in the singular. So it refers to one person. One person. The words dominion and demon is used in the New Testament both in the singular and the plural, but never interchangeably with diablos, and should be translated demon or evil spirit. The word dominion 56 times and demon 5 times. But there is but one devil as far as Satan, but multitudes of demons. Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be at every place at one time. Now let's strip him down a little bit. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. He is not omnipresent, omnipotent. He is not almighty. He can only be in one place. So if the devil is here in the church service today, that means he can't be over at Brother Luke Gibson at the same time, or down with Brother Tim Pruitt, or wherever more. He can only be at one place at one time. He don't know all things by his omnipresence, because he doesn't have omnipresence. He depends upon his tattletaling demons in order to keep him up to date on what's going on. Hallelujah! He is a creature of time, and he will be destroyed. So Satan is totally dependent on his demons to keep him up to date. And demons, of course, work in this realm of darkness. Now, they are not a few in number, friends. There are, who knows how many, but they're a great marshaled host, as it were. They are veterans to the satanic cause. Look in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Now, their central camp or abode, we're going to read about where it is. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star far from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, remember, when God created all of this, God created this pit, as well as the dimensions by which the saved would go, the unsaved would go, and then God created a pit by which Satan would be cast into before there's ever a devil. This pit was created. God knew about it in his mind. Now he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now remember, this is during the time of the tribulation period. And there came out of the smoke locusts. upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now during the tribulation, these things will be released out of the abyss. They will come up out of the realms of darkness, and they will begin to torment Jews and Gentiles that do not have the seal of God. Of course, the only ones here with the seal of God during this time will be the 144,000. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death. I want you to think about the tribulation period, how it's going to be. That people will want to die. They will want to commit suicide. They will look for ways out. It'll be so horrible. Men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Amen. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces as the faces of men. Now watch this. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And the prophet said they'll come up on the earth, and they'll torment women who've cut their hair off. So you want to cut your sister? Go ahead. This is what's waiting for you. Scorpions with long hair to torment you with your bobbed hair. I don't care how much preachers try to grease it all down and slick down Christianity. This is in your Bible. And this is coming just as sure as there's a God in heaven. You better do what Jesus said in Luke 21:36. Pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Do you do that, Happy Valley? Do you pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things? Notice they had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now here these demons will be allowed to come out of hell. The abyss. Notice, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Now look at his name and look at what it means. Ruin, the place of destruction. Name of the angel prince of the infernal regions, the minister of death. Look at his name. In the Hebrew tongue, his name is Abaddon, which is ruin, the place of destruction. It would seem as if, though, we are describing a location, not a person. Don't you understand everywhere he goes, this is who he is? It's the same way with a child of God. Everywhere you go, there ought to be a little bit of heaven left behind. Everywhere you go, not just in church on Sunday morning, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, every day out of the week, there ought to be a brightness brought about by you being a child of God. Now watch, in the Hebrew tongue, his name is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, he hath his name Apollyon, destroyer. That is the rendering of the Hebrew word Abaddon, the angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:11. Abaddon is the angel and not the abyss, is evidently perfect in the Greek. Now there are two bodies then that are being formed under these two great powers. Both of them are mythical and mystical. Both of them are spiritual and both of them are natural. Both of them are heading to their headship. One of them has already received their headship. The other one is in the making. Now, there are two distinct bodies in the earth today. Now, this is what makes it, of course, so difficult, because many of those that are in the false body claim they're in the true. And sometimes some of the ones in the truth think they belong in the false. Boy, if we can ever get it all straight and get it all where we belong. Now, the body of Christ, of course, is the supernatural, mystical body that was formed by the Lord Jesus himself. Being that it is mystical or mystic, then it comes from a supernatural. Now, don't let these words scare you now. But a mystic is one who has the ability to be in tune with the supernatural. And the supernatural people of God have always been unusual to the world. Not that they try to make themselves unusual. It's just what God gives them and the way that God works with them. But then on the other hand, there is another body that is being made as well. It is a multifaceted body. In the sense that some of them in that body unilaterally, they will be religious. Some of them will be church people, and some of them will be agnostics. Some of them will be communists. There will be this, that, and the other, but yet it all comes under one head. And if you can only imagine in your mind now that Satan, the very king that is the king of world religion, which is anti-God, he is the very king of communism. He is the very king of socialism. Hang tight. He is the king of so-called democracy. Hey, look at our nation. We're supposed to be the leader of democracy. Has it worked? Look around at us. You vote to do a certain thing and say a certain thing. A federal judge gets up in his courtroom and strikes that down. So where is we the people? You vote this, you don't want this, and you don't want that, and this is not what you want, and this is what you want. And one federal judge gets up and takes his pen and writes something and throws thousands and thousands of votes out the window. Well, come on, church. Don't get scared now. Why? Because Satan controls it all. But yet, what's amazing is in that there will be people in the religious aspect which will fight the aspect of communism. And the people in communism will turn right back around and say, can you believe them crazy religious people that think there's a God? Why? There ain't no God. And yet, they're both under the same head. Now, if you found your kingdom, if the foundation of your kingdom is rebellion and lies and deceit, will not your kingdom be the same thing? Watch this now. The first one being gathered is, of course, gathered by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there has to be a greater understanding to this scripture than just natural taking the Logos and say Jesus is my Lord. Because if that's so, then anybody just simply repeats these words and it means they've got the Holy Ghost. But a person can't really say that Jesus is their Lord without the Holy Ghost. Now, they can say it with Logos, but they'll never say it with Rhema until the Holy Ghost is in them. Then the Holy Ghost from within the holiest of holies says, Jesus is my Lord. He owns me. He controls me. Notice in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Now this is the mystical body. Remember, the church has a mystical address and she has a physical address. So in the mystical part, then there would be whoever that is baptized truly has the Holy Ghost into that body under one headship. That headship is not Brother Branham. That headship is not Paul. It's the Lord Jesus. But then the second move is by the spirit of evil. Now, in this spirit of evil is divination, witchcraft, idolatry, and so-called Christianity. But yet most people would never look at it and embrace that idolatry and that much of so-called Christianity are under the same headship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, energio, be effectual, fervent. This is why some people are so fervent against this message. They have an energy about them that they never had for it. They've moved under. No. Why? Many folks never witnessed about this message, but they're witnessing against it now. Why? They have moved under this energy. They have moved under this energy, and it's not a divine energy. Well, longer I go, quieter y'all get. Now, the difference between these two bodies are that the Holy Ghost is forming the one body, of course, the body of Christ, and the spirit of evil is forming the other. The spirit of Christ in this mystical body already has placed a headship over this body. But the other evil body is now working under magistrates, working under principalities, working under powers, working under evil angels, because the headship has not yet arrived to the body. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Now look how Paul breaks this down. Principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the mystical body of Christ on the earth. Now remember, she is an organism, not an organization. There's a great difference. And she has already received her personal headship by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, while the latter has no living head, it is simply an organization, while the body of God is an organism. And both of them are alive and well today. And everybody in this building belongs to one or the other. Now, when the spirit of organization, when I say organization, not just organization religiously, but organization politically. Because remember, demon power, religious power, and all these powers must come together and culminate. Do you think it's going to wait and happen the last 3.5 years of tribulation? I tell you, no. It will start happening now, and it's already coming together. We can see politically how it is in the world today, that it's not politically correct to say certain things anymore. It's not correct for a man running for sheriff. He can believe this and this and this and this, but he can't say it, because if he does, he won't get voted for. A man running for Congress or running for Senate or this and that and the other, in his heart, he may believe certain things, but he knows better than to run on that platform. Come on now, church, don't get quiet. So what do we got? We've got people, even with principle, who are holding back what they believe because they consider it worse being able to get into office and disguise what they really are. Well, glory. Can't you see how the organization will come in the last days, that people will receive the mark of the beast? They will consider it better to hold their peace about certain things and be able to have church, and instead of letting their doors be closed. So they say, well, we can't say this and we can't say that, and we can at least still say Jesus is the Son of God. And we can say there's a heaven and there's a hell, and we'll just not say this no more and that no more and that no more, and we'll just quit saying anything that offends anybody. Then you can't preach the truth. Because the truth is going to offend. The truth is going to hurt. The truth of it is, most preachers in this day and age already have their automatic bleeper built in. You just don't hear it. If they start down a certain avenue, they just bleep and go another way. Why? They don't want to offend nobody. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be politically correct. Everybody wants to be accepted. Well, I say everybody, not totally everybody. There's still that handful that I mentioned a while ago that really upsets hell. Now watch this in Psalm 78. Let's look at this, Psalm 78, 43. God anointing David to write about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And he turned the rivers into blood, their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. I'll tell you one thing, that sounds like a bad enemy to have against you. Let him be on my side, or let me be on his side rather. Oh my. He can do what Russia can't do. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, their fox to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger and wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. You mean God? God sent evil angels among the Egyptians. Why would they want to do anything for God? You remember the Donnie? They would want to. Evil spirits. May I call your attention to when the prophet had stood there and he said, go on up, Ahab. And I seen all of Israel scattered. They run up and smacked him in the mouth and said, word, the spirit of God go when it left me. And the prophet said, you'll find out when Los Angeles is laying in the bottom of the sea. And he said, I saw God, and I saw the host of heaven, and I saw a lying spirit come up out of hell. And he said, if you will allow me, I will go down and I'll give them preachers my anointing. I'll give them prophets my anointing, and they won't even pay any attention to it that it's leaving the word. They'll be so caught up, and I'll let them. Now, can you imagine an evil angel, a fallen spirit that had been fallen from the presence of God for thousands of years, but he saw an opportunity to be a service for God? Oh my. Now, Satan, if you'll notice this again in Ephesians 6:12. There's several points in this. We're going to read this several times this morning, if you don't mind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. So Satan and his angels are described by their spiritual nature. Spiritual wickedness, as Paul calls it. So they are wicked spirits. Then they want to come against not only those they have got. I mean, why go over there and try to conquer a city when it's already yours? But it's them little lightning bugs flying in the mortal streams. And they're just going along trying to be a Christian. Oh, they're just so happy to be saved and be in church and glory to God. I love the Lord with all of my heart. And here goes the devil with his lightning bug jar. And he's trying to catch it. Your little light just a flickering here and there and there. You ain't really bothering nobody. I mean, you ain't no major deal. You've got China. You've got Russia. You've got Croatia. You've got all the rest of them. Why do you want me? Because you're a lightning bug. Because you're a little white spot out here in this stream of darkness. You're testifying of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, of the universe. You're testifying by your little beacon of light that there is a resurrected Lord Jesus. And he can't stand it. Now watch, Paul says, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which is celestial or heavenly places. The word denotes the heavens and also the lower heavens, the sky, the air. Represented by the seats of evil spirits. In Ephesians 2:1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince. Now look at this word prince. It's archon. Which means first in authority and power. Of course, it's the same root word. Greek word that comes from archangel, A-R-C-H, arch. So it's the first one in succession. First one. Not only first in creation, but first in dignity and honor and authority. So Paul gives him the designation of being the prince of the power of the air. So he is the prince of devils. Watch this in the deity of Christ. Brother Bram says the religion of Christ was never popular. It's always been unpopular in the ways of God because the devil's the prince of the power of the air. He has all the governments. Every government is controlled by the devil. It don't really make no difference whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or a Unitarian or a Nonitarian. The devil controls it all anyway. I'm not telling you not to vote. Vote however you want to do it. It's entirely up to you. But I just want to let you know who's running it all. Right. Every government is controlled by the devil according to the Bible. The devil said it was. That's right. He controls all the governments. But can you imagine? There's some churches over in Russia. Satan's got Putin. Boy, old Putin, he just tells Obama where to get on and get off. And Putin tells Congress what to do and what not to do. But there's some Holy Ghost filled saints over in Russia. Some message followers. And the devil's got Russia and he's got all them big cannons and all them big bombs. But he's got some Holy Ghost saints over there that he can't get a hold of. Hallelujah! He tries to move around through the Ukraine and down through Lithuania and down through Italy and down everywhere else. And he's got all that sort of thing under control. But there's a group there and another group there and another group there. And they just get together and fly and shine their little light, little lightning bugs. Oh, it ain't no wonder it makes him so mad. I watch this in the Mighty Conqueror. He says that's the reason we have wars and shooting and fighting and trouble. Because the kingdoms of this world is the kingdoms of the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's right. Art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? No man can see into glory. No man can understand because the power is just above us. Heaven's atmosphere above. Then all these powers were shut off from mankind because of sin. So imagine when you get down to pray. And you have to pray. You ever pray and it feels like it's just hanging right above you. And the pressure and the pressure. Let's look at this. You believe he's the prince of the power of the air. It happened in Germany when them 15 witch doctors on each side of me. Because Billy and Brother Organbright wouldn't let them see me. They said, well, we'll cause the tent to blow away. And they sat down there with their enchantments and called on their God, the devil. And here he come. With a storm. About 30,000, 40,000 Germans out there in that tent was just raised up and down like this. They took a scissors and cut a feather and pointed it back like that, going through all their enchantments, saying the three holy words they say, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Lou, 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 Lou. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Lou, Lou, Lou. So if anybody here today is baptized in them holy words, you might ought to get baptized over. Can you imagine witches? And their enchantments was Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What has witches got to do with Father, Son, Holy Ghost? The merging of the powers. I hope somebody's hearing me this morning. Going like that, actually, the storm come up. He's the prince of the powers of the air, Satan. And they call the storm. Now that great big tent setting up there like that, oh my, cover a city block. And they built it up out of tubifores and canvas tacked over it. The wind got under there and just raised it like that. And the wind, lightning flying. I just continually preached. Glory. Oh, it was going into a big enchantment going on like that, saying those little holy words, the three holy words, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, on both sides. And I said to Brother Louster, don't interpret this. I said, Brother Argenbrot, just pray. I said, Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, Now, for those of you who want to think that Brother Branham was a false prophet and a liar, please explain to me this equation. You've got satanic witches calling down a storm, and you've got a prophet of God calling in the name of Jesus, the Lord God, not calling on the devil. So the Lord God is going to answer a deceiver? The Lord God is going to answer a liar? Lord God, creator of heavens and earth. Now watch him. He knows where he's standing. You sent me here. I'll tell you one thing, friends. If a prophet of God would use that, I think we as the children of God ought to use the same. If God sent you here to Happy Valley, who are you going to let run you off? If God called you to be a Christian, who are you going to let run you off of being a child of God? God called you to live in this day, you're going to let the devil run you off? No, sir. Then you can tell the devil, God called me to live in this day. God called me to come to this church. God called me to come to this message. Amen. Watch this. I set my foot on this German soil in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you sent me here, that cloud has no power over me. Boy, you better know what you're talking about when you're saying this. Now you're moving into a realm that's more than headaches and toe aches and back aches. You're moving into a realm that's more than just typing out words to put on a website. You're moving into the power of nature. That cloud has no power over me. It does not. And this is why. Because I'm anointed. And sent here for the salvation of this people. Now you remember when this happened? You remember what year it was? Any of you? 1955. Germany has just led the world a few years prior to this under the Third Reich. They have killed millions of people. I've talked to some of our German brothers and sisters who still hang their head in shame. Because of what happened. Their nation was so broken. But God, out of his love, the devil gave him a Hitler, and God sent him an Elijah. God didn't look down on the rest of them Germans and said, all of y'all going to hell. Every one of you going to hell. But instead, God gave him an Elijah with a meeting. And the devil challenged. Notice this is a man that identifies his position. I am anointed and sent here for the salvation of this people. I'd say the devil ought to swallow his tongue when he said that. Watch this now. I command you. Isn't it amazing that Michael, after God had buried the body of Moses, and Satan showed up, a little while after the wake and the funeral. And Satan wanted to know where the body was. And him and Michael got into it. And Michael didn't say, I rebuke you. But Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. But notice a son on the earth in his position. A son on the earth in his position does not have to say, the Lord commands you. But I command you. Come on, children. Don't get scared now. Who's he speaking to? Not a demon. It is not demon. It is not dominion. It is diablos. There's one. That's the prince of the power of the air. Satan must have considered this meeting in Germany and this prophet of God a real threat. Since he showed up himself. Kind of let you know what the devil thinks about Brother Renham. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. That was a good one.
The devil must have considered it such a threat that Satan himself showed up.
I command you in Jesus' name, depart. So you're speaking to clouds, atmospheric pressure, high pressure, low pressure, all these things that cause the storms to come. So you're commanding as a man on the earth and you're looking up into the heavens.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And the thunder's going bang, bang, bang. Went. I love it when the God Almighty, whether it does in the form of an angel or whether it does in the form of a servant, but the devil pulls out his sick gun, pew, 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 and the Holy Ghost says, I command you, and you go, pew. They're both ended on bang, 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 bang. And all of a sudden they went, woo! Rolled away and right straight over the tent, blowed back, and the sun shined out. Within 10 minutes, there was about 10,000. Now I'm waiting for the opposers of the message to do something just remotely like this. I mean, it don't even have to be a category 4 storm. No. We'll make it easy on you. Just bring a cloud like to a man's hand in a clear day. Or just roll back a wispy puff. Just make it easy on yourself. Come on, children. Don't tell me words. Show me power. The gospel don't come in words. It comes in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a little bit greater than my power. All right, let's bring it on down a little bit. Take a Volkswagen and turn it into an Escalade for me. No? What about a bologna sandwich into a hamburger? Can't do that either, huh? A glass of water into Kool-Aid? I see. So in other words, you have no power, you long-tongued babbler. You have words. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You imagine the prince of the power of the air comes down, moves in the high pressure and the low pressure and the barometric pressure, and riding on these names, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lulu, 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 Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lulu, Lulu, Lulu. And Elijah said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. Get out of here, Lulu, you and Hoo-Hoo too. Get on out of here. I've come here as a man of God for the salvation of these people. And 10,000 Germans. Come give their hearts to God. Let's stand. Friends, we do not have a message that's just words. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. You see, Paul dealt with some of these mouthers too. They had all kinds of things to say. He said, don't tell me your words. I want you to show me your power. For the kingdom of God is not in word,
but in power. Brother Tony, don't that scare you? Not right now. Not when I'm under the anointing. Ask me in 15 minutes. Look, children, we are called to stand for this truth. If our God does not back up what we preach, we better get us another God. But there's no worry about that. He always backs up truth. Praise the Lord. But Brother Donnie, them demon spirits, them evil, them... Sure, they're there. I know it. I deal with them all the time like you do. But greater is He that is in me. You know what the title of this sermon is? I just read this quote to you out of. Talking about the storm of Germany. You know what the title of this sermon is? He that is in you. So no matter what Satan does. Sickness, depression. Pressure from out here. Pressure from within. Wherever He wants to bring it. For we know that all things work together for the good to them. I love God.
Amen.
You love Him with all your hearts. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we ponder and think over these things, evil angels, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, these demons that we face have been doing this for thousands of years. Yet some of our young people today serving you, they're only 15 years old, 20 years old, 30. Even some of the oldest people here today in their 70s and 80s. Yet how many years of experience have they had fighting demons? 50, 60? What's that compared to a veteran? Yet, Lord Jesus, we do not meet them on our own strength, our own power. For we already have a headship. We know soon and very soon, the world's government, its religions, will all come together. The anointing, the precursor of it, is here now. Calling for the charismatics to come back to the Catholic Church. And calling for all of them to come together. And the great religious leaders are saying, oh, it was so wonderful. So wonderful they're all coming together. They must unite for their head, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us. May we not be identified just so much as message people. May we not be identified so much as going to Happy Valley. But may we be identified being filled with the Holy Ghost. The women wearing the dresses, the long hair, the men not looking like girls and all that sort of thing, that is an identity. But Father, more importantly than just the outside appearance, in that realm where demons look, in that realm where angels peer, may they see pulsations of light from us. For demons know long hair within itself is not the sign of a Christian. A man with nice cut hair and doesn't look like a girl and all that, that's not the sign of a Christian. But demons look in dimensional view. And they see a white light or a little white spot. Or they see darkness. So how many Christians are there on the earth today? So-called millions of them. How many of them, Lord? The way Satan and his demons look, they see coming from those so-called Christians the very same thing that comes from demons, rays of darkness. So no matter what they call themselves, demons know they are of the dark world. So Lord Jesus, help us. We will not be deceived in this last day. For we know that millions will go into the tribulation period thinking they were ready for a rapture. But because many of their preachers cut corners and would not tell the truth for the sake of a position or politically correct or whatever more, as we go on in time, it'll get worse and worse. And it won't just stay out there. It's already started into the message as well.
Message preachers will do even the same thing. They'll start cutting corners on this and that and the other, afraid somebody will put up their video or whatever. Somebody will hear them. So no doubt this that we've been through ourselves will usher in a change. But help us, Lord, to be willing to stand. Not foolishly, sensibly, but under the direction of the Holy Ghost. No matter what these people think about me, and I've got friends around the world, thousands and thousands of them. But if demons look at me in that dimensional view, and demons see no light, they see no flicker, they see no white spots, they are not afraid of me. But the prophet of God said, if demons, if you have real authority, demons recognize it. And he said, they are afraid of light. Shouting don't scare them. They can shout right with you. Loud music. But they are afraid of light. Let your light so live through us, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray. How many with me today wants to raise your hand? Say, Lord, let me be a light. Let me be a light in that dimension. Not just a Christian by profession, by words, but in that dimension where demons, light and darkness pulsates. Let my soul emanate rays of spiritual light. Grant it, Lord Jesus. If there's a one here today, Lord, who has not received the Holy Ghost, may this be the time, Father. Lord, the devils ain't scared of quotes from Brother Branham. They can quote them too. Even the written word, Satan can quote it, and he's a theologian with it. But it's light. And he hates to be exposed. Oh, he can't stand it to be exposed. It's one of the few things that scares him. It's when he's exposed. It's no wonder any ministry that really exposes him, he hates them. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you today. Keep us from principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. May the angels of God, which are innumerable, that are ministering spirits that are sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation, may they walk among us today. Lord, you know we feel fear and we feel all kinds of things as mortals. But may there be such a rest that will come to us today, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you, Father. I thank you for your truth today, Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus, that I've been baptized in your name. As I read that today, it made me realize at one time how I was baptized in those holy words. It just struck my heart, Father, how thankful I am that I've took on the name of my bridegroom. For it was not his name that they conjured up that storm, but titles. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love your name. Praise be to God. Can we just raise our hands now, friends? In the presence of the Lord. Please, children, please. Don't let no doubt, no unbelief. You realize what a serious time this is? You know, Brother Bram said them demons would follow his meetings and go from one prayer line to another, looking for people to enter into. Do you realize when the truth is preached and demons leave people, they're looking for a person to go into? And if you're standing there doubting or unbelief, they'll go just as straight as they can into you because that's an open gate. Oh my. Friends, this ain't something to play with. This is not a playing time. This is a serious time. It is a world of demons. But it's also a world out there of angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's just take a few moments now before you go for your lunch. If you're saved here today, I'm thankful you ought to be. At one time you was in that world of darkness, but his light has shined upon your heart. If you've got the Holy Ghost, he's illuminated you into the holiest of holies. You're standing here today believing this word with all of your heart. You ought to be so grateful to God. Our lives were shrouded with darkness. We were totally covered. But one day, the light broke around us. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. It is the rising of the sun. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. As the earth turned on its rotation there in the darkness, it must have been so deep. And the seeds lay upon the earth from that other civilization. And the Spirit of God said, let there be light. And Ruach Elohim moved upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. And the prophet said in the seal book, that was the type of a human being. We were out there in that darkness too, turning on our axis, having a big time with us, living in the world, drinking whatever more that was doing. But the Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, moved upon the earth again. The face of the deep, praise God. And that seed that was laying there from the mind of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It took life and started growing. Oh, we're still in that process, Father. Hallelujah. But we know you that begun this good work in us, you will complete it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship now together, children. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. You appreciate his truth. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you today, Father. We magnify your name, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God.
And I am desperate for you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yes, I am, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. And I'm lost without you. Jesus, and I,
yes, Lord. My God,
I'm desperate for you.
Amen.
I need you,
my Jesus,
and I,
hallelujah.
I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your Holy Spirit living in me. Desperate for you, I need you, and I'm lost without you, without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. Living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word. Today's been spoken. To me, and I'm desperate for you. I need your presence in me, Jesus, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And I,
oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
I'm desperate for you.
I need you, Jesus.
Oh,
I've got to have you.
Be so lost without you.
I would be lost without you.
Without you, Lord.
Without you, Lord.
That's why.
God, God.
I'm desperate for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm lost without you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'd be lost without you.
Oh, Jesus.
Without you, Jesus.
Oh, bless your name, Lord.
I'd be lost without you.
Hallelujah. Would you get your handkerchief or your Bible or a songbook or just your hand? Let's just give him a wave offering this morning. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us from the power of evil. Thank you, Lord, for illuminating our lives. Thank you, Lord, for our daily grace and daily mercy, daily forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Greatly to be praised is our God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver gold. I'd rather have Jesus.
You feel that way today?
Than riches untold. I'd rather,
oh God,
have Jesus.
Help me to always maintain that
than houses or land. I'd rather be led,
yes,
by his name pierced hand than to be the king of a vast army. Be led in sin's dread sway. Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather
course together again.
take this whole world, but give